You probably know the story of Mao's Last Dancer. Poor Chinese peasant boy Lee Shuen Sing, who made it big as a ballet dancer, married his true love and eventually settled in Australia. He's been on the show. A much fuller version of the story, I think I just gave you the Twitter version, will soon be in cinemas across the country in a film of the same name. Before that, though, a real treat. You're going to meet two of the women behind Mao's Last Dancer, his wife Mary McKendry and daughter Sophie Lee, both real achievers in their own right. And they're with me in the Life Matters studio. Welcome.
Hi, Richard.
Mary, you were also world-class dancer, but you gave it up.
Yes.
What happened?
We had our daughter Sophie, and I went back to dancing for 18 months, and Lee and I performed here in Australia at the Opera House with the Australian Ballet.
Because you were based in Texas at the time.
That's right. And during that time, my husband saw that Sophie didn't respond to a balloon popping, and we were waiting for her language to develop. She just babbled, and we were suspicious. We definitely didn't think a profound hearing loss, but we needed it checked. And when we went back to the States, we had her checked, and she was diagnosed immediately with profound hearing loss.
Right, and this is how old? How old was she?
She was 16 months, and by the time the diagnosis, 18 months.
Right, okay. So it's important to to address that. And that, I mean, dancing had been your life until that point, really.
That's right.
It?
But I knew I had time to catch up, and I, more than anything, I wanted my daughter to speak to me. And every parent wants to hear their daughter's voice, and I knew that I had to do it because it's such a difficult road. And luckily for us, the implant, cochlear implant, came along during that time as well, which did give us that advantage because it is possible to hear your daughter speak.
All right. Well, Sophie, you haven't said anything yet. Thank you.
No, I'm
glad.
I haven't.
What do you remember about those early years?
Well, before the implant, I was constantly frustrated, and it was just, if you were to describe me in a colour, I would be black. And, I just did not see anything positive about this world. And, you know, like, my mum, she would be, like, constantly singing to me, and then I'll be covering her mouth because, you know, I'll be so sick of it. And, but then when I found out that I was going to have a cochlear implant, I was so scared. They showed me a doll, and the doll had, you know, a little thing, like a little mechanism on the ear, and it's like a little machine on the ear.
Yes. And you think, they have to cut me to do that.
And and they actually pointed to me, and I got so scared, and I didn't want it to have, I screamed and everything, and then they put me to sleep, and that was about it.
Because we didn't have the words to communicate.
No.
Yeah, and so it was all visual. Yeah.
And she was very, she was tough, wasn't she? She was a hard taskmaster, your mother.
Yes, she is.
She didn't use conventional methods of communicating with the deaf. So you didn't do the sign language then?
No, actually, that was her decision to not teach me to sign.
Why did you take that? Because that, most people would think, well, I'll have to learn sign language and teach her sign language. I mean, that would be the way most people would go.
Yes, it's a minefield, the choices, but my husband was Chinese. I wanted her...
Still is.
Yes, and I wanted her to be able to understand that. American sign did not translate to Australian sign,
that's
so
right.
This language was isolating, and I didn't want to do that. And I wanted her to be with me. My husband was on stage, so it was very difficult. And now she can do Chinese, Spanish, English, and learn sign.
Right. So you have the operation, and you clearly remember it.
Yes, I actually don't remember in between because I was scared to sleep. But afterwards, I had this massive bandage covering half my head, and then I wasn't switched on, which means like they actually give you the implant and then they do the program to actually switch you on, you know, so you actually get to hear.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so after the operation, you have to let your head heal because it was quite big in those days. And then, after 3 weeks, you know, half my head was bald. They actually had to shave off too, and had 75 stitches there. But they switched me on, and...
What? Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember it, but I do remember that I was always constantly in this world where all this ramble of noises just didn't make any sense at all. So you could say that I was born again, except now in the hearing world.
Actually, was that Was it wonderful or was it difficult to kind of come to grips with it all?
I wouldn't say wonderful. It was startling. And at first I didn't like it.
But she never took it off. So once the implant was on, because Lee and I promised, we said she would not take it off, you know, because they said they needed just a little bit of time to adjust. She never took it off. So from the moment...
The reason why I never took it off was because then she allowed me to wear costumes.
Oh, right. Do you know, I always say this, you know, when I talk about the special parenting programs where you don't punish or reward your children, I'm thinking that's my entire game.
Yes.
And that's what you use too. Treats. Yes.
Treats. It worked.
Yes.
What about punishments? Did you use punishments? Or did you not have to?
No, I did have to, but I...
Sophie's looking slightly different
there. Well, yes.
No, it was tricky with a child with a hearing loss because you didn't have the language to go into things. So I had to remove her and be very strong. And she, because she did have some black times because there was an enormous amount of frustration. So, and then I popped her off to ballet and that sorted her out very quickly.
On Life Matters today, my guests are Mary McKendry and Sophie Lee. Mother and daughter, and of course, Mary is Lee Shwin Singh's wife, and Sophie's his daughter. And we're talking really about these two rather than him, because Sophie was born profoundly deaf, and we're hearing about what Mary did and what Sophie did, and then what happened after that. Now, yeah, ballet, big part of your life. And actually, didn't your mum say, you know, she has to learn, and she can't, if she can't hear, she can't learn. So just.
Oh, no. With ballet, it was more like the more exposure to music, the more exposure to sound itself, I'll be able to recognise what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Because what I'm hearing is actually based on the nerve system and my brain has never used those nerves before.
So you had to make the connections in your in your head.
Yes, and those connections were not easy because what I'm hearing is actually not real sound at all. It's just mechanical signals going through the brain.
Right.
Yeah. And so my brain had to do a lot of, you know...
And I guess that the human body has evolved so that you normally make those connections earlier and making them later is harder.
Yeah. And remember, I only had the implant when I was 4.
Yeah.
And by that time, I've lost a lot of time in developing my own language. Because, you know, when you're a baby to maybe 6 years... of age, that's when you actually develop most of your language,
yes.
Right? And I only lost 4 years of that. And so, and I didn't really start, you know, speaking or even catching up to my academic level until I was about year 9. And that was about when I was about 16.
And by then, you'd already had another one, hadn't you? You'd had a second one.
Yes, I did have a second one. And the reason why I didn't have the second one in the first place was because they believed that having one implant was just as sufficient as having two implants. But actually, if you think about it, it's like, is one ear better than two ears?
No.
No?
Was that hard, Mary? I mean, it's a very easy argument to make to a grown-up, but to a girl, you know, in young adolescence, who doesn't love wearing the first one, was it difficult to persuade her?
It was, but she trusted me. She really did. We had built up a great relationship and I felt like I just said to her, you've got nothing to lose and if we do it and you don't like it, then it can be gone because she wasn't using that ear at all. Mm. So she had nothing to lose. She couldn't hear out of that ear. And
you know, I always had the option because it's an external advice that helps you to hear.
Yeah.
Because once you take it off, you can't hear a thing. And, you know...
Sometimes that'd be handy when you're a teenager, I reckon.
Oh, no, I have the best sleep in the world. I take it off every night.
So, Mary, you eventually... Because this has really been your life, hadn't it? I mean, for years.
After ballerina, then those are my two tasks, really.
So, eventually, though, you return to your first love as... And can I just say, while this is all going on, you've had two more children as well.
Two more children that are hearing.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I think at that point, if that was me, I then spend the next 10 years lying down in a darkened room. But you didn't. You actually went back to your first love, which is ballet.
Yes. Well, when I did give up my career, luckily for me, my husband allowed me to sort of still partake and to criticise him and become critical. So I kind of developed my coaching skills, and that's what I do now. I coach the Australian Ballet Company.
So things have kind of come full circle in a way.
Yes.
What about you, Sophie? What are you doing now? How old are you now?
I'm 20.
Right.
And I'm in my first year in university of Melbourne.
Doing...
And I'm doing architecture at the moment.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm really enjoying it.
And do you dance as well? Do you have ballet in your life?
Yes, I do, except at the moment I've just been so busy with university, but I do hope to keep on dancing as a hobby, but not as a career.
Right, okay.
I've made that choice, yeah.
And when you're in lectures and things, is it, I mean, you're understanding me fine now, but is it at all difficult or is it?
Lectures are fine, tutorials are fine because it's in a controlled situation where it's not too noisy and only one person's talking. But for example, if I was in a noisy room like a party, you know, that's a lot harder for me to hear. Yes.
Yeah. I don't like them either. I'm not actually, as your look on your face saying, no, I like them, it's just hard to hear. Mary, often parents of kids with a disability are their kind of strongest advocates. You're a kind of example, a great example of that. You must be very proud of where she is now.
Yeah, I'm thrilled. I think it's a very long journey for people with children with disabilities, and I think patience is a huge part of that and continuing to work, and she has proved that, and I know that parents with disabilities do continue all the time, and it's worth it.
Well, she's certainly, with her parents... You've got the genes and the determination in the culture, haven't you?
Well, what else have I got?
Thank you both for joining me today.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
That's mother and daughter, Mary McKendry and Sophie Lee. And this week is Hearing Awareness Week, actually. You'll find details of it on the Life Matters website at abc.net.au/rn/Life Matters.